You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account. They get amazing odds boosts every single day. Got a DraftKings pick of the week for you here. All right. Everybody knows professional golfers are way too good at the sport. Right now, you go on there, get plus 1,600 for anyone in the tournament to hit a hole-in-one tomorrow.
Wow.
Any of them.
Yeah.
Hits a hole in one tomorrow, you get plus 1,600. So take your bets. Go, what the tournament? I don't even know what it's called. Century Tournament of Champions. Oh, yeah. So this tournament is only people who've won on the PGA Tour. Mm. So it's like the best of the best. And you get plus 1,600 if one of them gets a hole in one. So take it. Get on over to DraftKings Sportsbook. Use the DNVR code to get amazing odds boost. It must be 21 or older, Colorado only.
Other terms. Plus 1,600 for a hole in one, even with the best of the best.
Yeah, right.
Feels
pretty good.
It feels. I disagree. It feels a little on low? A little on the light side.
All right.
I would say if it was at say 2,500, I'm totally
you'd
in.
Be in it? Yeah. When someone takes it and gets paid, they can thank me, and you can be sorry.
I do spend a lot of my time being sorry.
Colorado only. Other terms restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Okay. So that was fun.
What?
That hockey game.
Oh, is that what that was?
You could, if you wanted to call it a beating.
It looked like a bludgeoning. Yeah. It looked like an AHL team versus an NHL team. It looked like pretenders versus contenders. It looked like separating the wheat from the chaff. It looked like Big Brother versus Little Brother.
It looked
like USA versus Canada.
which team are we talking about right now?
What do you mean?
What team are you going for?
I mean, it looked like USA versus Canada. It was an American team versus a Canadian team.
World Juniors, I mean, you're exactly right.
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
Doesn't exist anymore.
That's true. It went by.
Yeah.
So... all right. I mean, first of all,
defending champ United States still there.
Yes, yep. I will.
Suck it.
I will pour water on my head in the review video. Okay, I'm not. I agreed to do it live if there were double hat tricks, which didn't happen.
Not close.
Okay. Anyway, Avs win 7-1. Just so we're clear, the Brazil did to come all the way through.
I love when they do it, and I just tweet out the Fast and the Furious with Vin Diesel going, "This is Brazil," and I don't have to say anything else, and my whole timeline understands. They understand.
Well, all right. Let's start with the shirt.
New merch, bro.
Very quietly, Kemper has been turning it up a little bit. He only gives up one goal tonight, so get in on it. The Kemperer, it's out. All right.
I love the design.
Yeah, I think the shirt itself is sick.
So dope.
Sitting on the throne of the hockey sticks. Yeah. I'm just when you guys sent it to me the first time, I was like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, I love this.
So
D-line nailed that one.
Go get yourself a Kemperer. We're adding the stock to the store right now, so you might have to refresh it a couple times. But get in on it.
Yeah, we got messages from people right away who were like, it's already sold out. And it was like, literally the stock is being added. Literally right now as you're trying to buy that thing. So,
yep.
Keep trying. It would be an insane all-time record for that thing to have sold out in 12 seconds.
Yeah, that would have been impressive. But to the point of tonight. Well, what did we say in the pregame show? Let's see Darcy Kuemper out-duel one of the best goaltenders in the league. He got a lot of goal support, but he only gave up one goal.
Got up for it, man.
Yeah.
And the rebound control throughout the game got better. Like, yes. We started talking about that. Like,
it did.
We were talking about him a minute into the third where we were like, doesn't feel like he's played all that well.
And then the Jets shelled him.
Yeah, and then they just kept coming at him, and he just stood tall. And the one goal that he gave up is a crazy bounce that lands perfectly on a guy's stick.
Yep.
And you're just like, look, you want to be mad at Kuemper for that rebound on a tip that...
Yeah, it's a deflected puck.
Right. Like, if that puck goes between his legs, do you feel better about it? Like, you know, like, it was a good tip and then a bad bounce.
Yep.
And then he got better as the game went on. It's been a continuation. We've been talking about it.
Yep.
He's been stringing some solid starts together. He's had some iffy moments here and there in those solid starts. But the end results are there.
Yep.
And we thought, look, leading into a huge game this weekend, Toronto, Colorado.
Yep.
Huge.
Hopefully without any caveats this time that ruin the game like it did last time. You know, it felt like a good night for us to lean into the Kuemper and really celebrate what has been a very strong stretch for him.
And no matter how you feel about how Kemper's game has improved, if Kuemper has another gear, he's 16-5.
Right. Like, your wins and losses, you're like, well, you can't ask for a whole lot more in that department. But if he starts putting up ones and twos in the goals against every night, then you're like, okay, the Avs are now who we thought they could be at the beginning of the year. Yep. This is starting to be the guy that, hey, they invested a lot in that deal.
Yep.
A first-round pick and a legit NHL-ready right shot D-man is big-time.
It's not cheap.
It's big-time NHL currency to invest into a goaltender. And it was shaky early on, but it's getting better. And this is... The guy tonight. I mean, we talked about him head to head against Bucky.
Yep.
You know, this is a litmus test for the Jets. It's also a litmus test for Darcy Kuemper, and he aced that test.
Yep.
Aced it.
Made it look good. Did not ace the test tonight. Curtis McDermott trying to stop before the pile of cans.
Oh,
didn't go so well to start the game. Just kind of runs into Connor Hellebuck. Avs end up giving up the one goal they do give on that power play right at the start of the game.
He was pushed in, but...
No, he wasn't.
He was pushed in.
Come on.
He was pushed in.
This is like...
I can barely skate.
Oddly enough, this is like when Jets fans tried to claim that Sam Girard bodied Mark Scheifele into Pavel Francouz and hurt Frankie in Winnipeg for the Adam Werner game.
Yeah.
And it was like... Sam Girard bodied Mark Scheifele. Excuse me. Are you fucking high? Curtis McDermott smoked Bucky. He just ran him over.
I mean, it's hard to stop in close. I don't know. I'm trying to defend him.
It's really easy to stop in close when you run into the guy with the most pads on the ice.
That's true.
He provides a soft landing spot.
He did kind of like... He goes in, tries to stop, realizes he can't, and like swan dives onto him a little bit.
And like, he was like, big pillow!
Well, officially, so we were talking about this earlier in the third period. Where did he end with time on ice?
I didn't check the final. When he took the penalty, he was at 3:08 of ice time and 4 PIMs. He had another shift. I don't know if he got to the 4 minutes.
He almost got another penalty.
Yeah.
Because he rocked Cole Perfetti in front of the net.
For all the people that like the lip reads, that's what he was doing when they cut to him after. He went like, so what's the penalties? And the refs were like, there aren't any. He was like, all right, cool, great.
And then he started, so accustomed to it.
Then he started calling the other team F and Bs and stuff like that. But, you know, that's par for the course.
Yeah, that's what you do.
This box score is...
It's a mess, yeah.
Tremendously funny.
Three-headed monster, three-headed monster, three-headed monster, three-headed monster, three-headed monster.
He finishes with four pims, two hits, and 5-10 of ice time.
Oh, he got up to 5-10. Look at him go.
I guess I have to grade him.
Congratulations. Yeah,
he'd be over 5 minutes.
My goodness.
It's a grade now.
It's a grade now. That's the Curtis McDermott. Can you break 5 minutes of ice time to get a grade or not?
Are you sure he wasn't out in the hall the whole time? Taking those penalty minutes?
I will say him running over the goaltender. What is the one thing we were all laughing about when he got up? Not a single Jets player. Not a single one of them tried to face wash him. Yep. Now, I understand Nick Ehlers can't reach him. Like, I get it. He's way up there. But the rest of them were just like, please, sir, don't do that again to our goaltender.
Well, and at the end of the game, when him and Jost crunch a guy.
Yeah, that was Perfetti.
They go after Jost.
Perfetti gets up and is like, I'll take Jost. Yeah. I'll take Jost.
He was like, 17, we have a problem.
For standing by the issue.
Yeah. who got sideswiped by McDermott.
Also took the hit, kind of, yeah.
Took some shrapnel. Yeah.
It was definitely funny that, like running into the goaltender is like the thing where players defending their goaltender
get butt mad. Yeah.
Almost get carte blanche to do whatever they want, right? And none of them laid a hand on Curtis McDermott. There were words said, and he was just like, do something. Man. And that's one of those ones where you're like, it's fun to have that guy on your team because it's fun to watch like the bully exist in your world in that way. It's less fun when it's 3 minutes into a game that you had better chances of early on, and then they score immediately.
Yeah. Yep. It didn't feel great, and it felt like an immediate stop to the momentum of the game, that it took the Avs a couple minutes to kind of figure it back out again. So, obviously, from that perspective, it's not a great look. And also, he played literally less than a minute in the first period because... I'm sure he went back to the bench and Bednar didn't have to tell him anything. He knew he was like, oh, oops. But in the end, nobody cares because the Avs would score 7 unanswered goals from there. So
yeah, it was like 1-0, and it was like this has been an interesting game. And then you could really feel once they got in the rear view of the power play goal and the Jets had a little momentum push after that. After that, it was 10-5 in shots for the Jets.
Yep.
And I know because I kept talking about it all game. Sorry. It was 10-5 in shots for the Jets. And then you just saw the entire building just kind of went whoop.
Yeah.
And the Avs kind of just put the foot down.
Yep.
And never, like, the only time that you could say that they really relinquished the momentum was when it was 4-1.
At the start of the third.
At the start of the third, and they took a couple of penalties to give the Jets
and
a little bit of life. And this is why you pay a goalie.
Yep. Right. And Kemper did the job. They weathered the storm, right. and they buried him. Yeah.
A wonderful example of your best penalty killer should be your goaltender because the PK was similarly brutal. It was not good. Yep. It was not particularly effective. But Darcy Kemper got in front of everything, and so you're like, the PK ended up going like 1-for-4 tonight. Yep. Like, there was, not great. It didn't get any better. You don't feel any better about it, but it didn't lose you the game. And that was a thing we talked about going into it. Look on the other side of the ice. Not that their PK lost them the game. It just helped them get blown out instead of just lose.
Well, and we were talking about that, too, in the third period. Again, you know, back to having goaltending there, they were getting tired just taking shots.
Yeah, like, you could see, like, Mark Scheifele was tiring out. He was like, I got to pass some pucks. I've been winding up and firing full strength, like 100% power meter bombs trying to get this thing to go in and get this game tied or get it to 4-2 and give them some momentum. And you could just see he just started after that. And he took a couple and then was like, I got to feed a few.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Kemper was like, nah, we good, Doug. All good. There are a couple of sketchy moments where some pucks bounced off the back end boards and kind of sat under Kemper for one there, but they didn't go in.
Yep.
So, job done. All right. starting with the Avs goals, let's get Kadri's one out of the way, because it's kind of the odd one out in this game. Not that it was a bad goal.
I'm trying to think back. Are you saying that it's not the one that led to furious masturbation afterwards? Because it was just like such a like, oh, he tipped it, he yep. scored, cool. And then after that, it was like the Globetrotters showed up.
Basically.
And it was like, all right, these guys are the Washington Generals, and now we're doing crazy shit.
I mean, I really like that Nas touched that puck. It helped me out, personally.
Your bet's that doing
was,
good.
It was a $41 tip-in
yeah.
for Blaze.
Yes.
He was showing it to me, and I was like, oh, my gosh.
Take it. Well, you got the other EJ assist just in case.
At the very end, though, I was yeah. sweating bullets. Yeah, well, not really sweating bullets. You know what you're in for on those type of bets.
Yeah. Yep. How common is it for a player to be a point per game player? Not that common.
Yeah. There's a handful of them
every year. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's one of the benchmarks that kind of separate good, very good, and elite. If you're a point per game player, you're really, really, really good.
Yeah.
If you're a 1.2 point per game player, you're the best of the best
in the world. Yeah.
Yeah. And right now the Avs have like five of those guys.
Yeah.
Seriously.
MacKinnon, Kadri, I think Miko's close. Yeah, Landy
Skoggin,
and
Makar.
And Makar is.
And Devon Taves is somewhere in there as well.
It doesn't count until you played 20 games. So
okay.
He needs one more, I think, to be to the 20 games.
It's a thing that happens a lot early in the season and will tail off for a lot of
just
like
because that's how math works.
Like you don't expect Landeskog to continue to be a point per game guy, but also for a guy that just signed a 7-year deal, this is a pretty because you always worry about got the bag,
the immediate
big letdown,
drop, yeah.
And this is a pretty good response for him for year one.
We keep on saying these things like. Can't keep doing this. Can't keep
scoring seven goals
can't
on every
keep scoring seven like, goals. Landy, but it happens all
Landy
the time.
Had a point per game season a couple years ago when he had that 30 goal
right,
year.
Right.
And so he's totally capable of like the 75 point year is where I think that I wouldn't be surprised to see him end up. But right now he's on like 110 point pace where you're just like.
How many players have been a point per game player their whole career?
MacKinnon, I think tonight MacKinnon actually
he's real close
up,
yeah,
and I think he's now in his career it? A point yeah. per game player.
Really?
I think so. I think he finally, because you remember those first 4 years of his career,
yeah,
Miko's been close. Flirting with it for a long time.
No,
now,
Miko's
too.
Been ahead of it
oh,
for
has
a long
he been?
Time yeah he caught up he caught up from his rookie year pretty quickly.
Yeah, sure, I'll take it. Kale is just under now. But, you know, obviously that career's 2.5 years old. So,
Eric.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we release the shirt
and like
then
3 weeks.
They have to get printed and then blah, 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 blah.
Now
these are
just,
ready to
you
rock.
You buy it, they come in, we ship it, and they go to you.
$5.93 and $5.93.
Perfect.
I tell you what, the 4 a.m. hockey reference
comes in clutch.
Curiosity of mine.
It's good.
Sometimes comes in handy.
That's which is, you know, kind of the next topic we want to get to, but we'll save it for a little bit because we are brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. You can get 8 different kinds on tap down at the bar. By the way, y'all missed a fun time at the bar tonight. People were going off about this game in the bar.
Yeah, there was like 10 people here, and they were awesome.
Yeah.
They were so fun because
they
could,
were hilarious. By
yeah,
the way,
they
too.
Were they were chirping and throwing shade at the TV, and it was a lot. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, so come on down to the bar. You can get the beers, or you can go to your local liquor store, get Breck Brew there. Use the Breck Beer Locator online to
apparently
find.
Apparently, I'm wrong about Miko. 352 and 360.
Yeah, I thought he was just under, but you know he'll get back there.
It's
no,
damn close.
No problem.
Yeah.
And then you look at all their postseason careers and you're like,
and
holy shit.
Yeah, their postseasons are all well above a point per game. And it's like, oh. All right. Once you got your beer, head on over. Get some sexy pizza. They got a deal going on from today through Sunday, I believe it is. You can get 25% off when you use code DNVRSEXY to get the sexy pizza. It's the stuff we serve at the DNBR tailgates, everything like that. So if you haven't had it, you got to go try it. All of the East Coast people approve of it as official East Coast style pizza.
Shout out Michaela.
Did the Yotes win today? I don't know. I didn't see the end of the game. I knew they were winning. But yeah, sexy pizza. Go get some. It's delicious. I don't know what else to tell you. Like,
get a sexy pizza, watch a sexy hockey game.
Yeah, right. Like, you can't lose. No. Lots of people don't like pizza for valid reasons, but if you're not one of
those. Who are those people?
Lactose intolerant people, I imagine. But what?
For valid reasons?
Lactose intolerance isn't a valid reason?
No.
All right.
Give me results, not excuses.
Just go hard in the paint and don't worry about the consequences.
Exactly. Pizza's one of those foods where you're like, worth.
Especially if it's 25% off. I mean, maybe. Maybe you just pulled the trigger on that one. Also, this weekend is the last tailgate of the year for the Broncos.
It almost feels like a mercy killing.
Look, I'm saying, obviously the Broncos aren't that interesting, so go to the tailgate.
Broncos fans care so much. And to see the team be so mired in mediocrity,
yep.
I hate it. Yeah. I hate it.
Maybe
because Broncos fans are legit, dude. They are.
Broncos fans, dude.
They mean business, and I just want the team to be good again, so that Broncos fans can be happy.
Sometimes
talk about Broncos fans like I haven't been my whole life. Like my entire room in high school wasn't painted blue and orange with a hand-drawn logo on the entire wall.
Sometimes the answer to that problem is go to the tailgate. Get hammered, and then you'll enjoy the game more. Yep. All right? It's $30. You get a bus ride down there. You get to drink as much as you, all you can drink, all you can eat sexy pizza at the tailgate. Go to the game, and then we'll drive you back to the bar, so you're all good. You can be hammered at the game, and it's not a problem.
It's a good way to be for the Broncos for the last 6 years.
Yeah. Sober up when they get good.
Yeah.
All right. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. We got a couple super chats here. We can hit those real quick. 5 from Sasha. Thank you very much. House Avalanche, a Kemper pays his... Oh, I see. Okay, I understand. I did not... House Avalanche, a Kemper pays his dues. Let's go. That shirt is awesome. Thank you very much, Sasha.
I love... I think the people who get the reference will really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Because I think it's such an awesome homage to it.
I mean, who would... I don't even think you have to get the reference. A throne of broken hockey sticks.
I mean, I think it's badass. Like, it's badass, man. But I do think that understanding its origins makes it a little...
It does. It adds a little bit extra, for sure. 5 from JT. We have Lactaid to combat the lactose intolerance. There you go.
There you go. Whoever was just awesome. In chat saying it's not worth it to me, you're wrong. Put the work in. I will say, if you just don't like it, that's fine. We can't be friends, but that's fine.
Do you also not like grilled cheese if you just don't like it? I mean, is that where we're at? Jake, $5. Thank you very much. Yet another touchdown win. Love the new Kemperer shirts. And will Nuke be in the lineup? No, he's a week away, at least.
A week to 7 days was the right track, and that was about 4 days ago.
Yeah.
So 7 to 10 days from there, you're probably
safe
looking
side, still a week out.
I would say next Wednesday at the latest. I don't actually know what their schedule is days of the week wise, but somewhere in there.
Yep.
So, and if it's before then, great. But it will not be. It should not be Toronto.
No, yeah.
Barring a very quick turnaround.
Yeah. Barring something changing a lot in the next 48 hours.
Yep. Okay. Second period here. I missed one. Sorry. Thank you, Casey, for the $5. Kemperer is elite, and so is Eric's shirt. Hard to disagree on a night like tonight where I think it was a 971 he finished with. So that's big time. All right. So,
just out of curiosity,
if you haven't looked at the box score of the second period, I recommend you go look at it because it's just the names Landeskog, McKinnon, and Rantanen just listed over and over.
It looks like somebody copy pasted it, but it just kept jumbling up the names.
Exactly.
And you're like, huh, that's weird. I wonder what happened there. And it was just like, oh, no, that's just what happens when the three-headed monster eats.
Hey, can I copy your homework? Yeah, but just change it around a little. That's what that is right there. Look, and that's We got the game from Kemper we've been asking for a long time. We got the game from the Avs' best players, I think we've been waiting for a long time, too.
So just to follow up, I wanted to do that. Kemper, his last six starts, 925, 935, 929, 935, 903, 971.
Wow. That's
pretty good.
The only games in which he gave up three goals were Detroit in a game that they were dominating already.
Yeah.
And Chicago.
Yep.
All the others were two, except tonight was one.
What do you say a good save percentage is? 0.915? Is that like what you're looking for in a goal?
In an individual game,
yeah,
like 930-ish is probably going to win you the game more often than not. For a season, you want 916-ish.
I think even
or better.
Even an individual game, anything over 920, you're okay with.
Yeah, you're definitely having a really hard time complaining.
Yeah.
Really, anything over 910 in an individual game, that's probably not your biggest problem.
You're in the it was good enough range at that point.
Yeah, definitely.
So, easy to be good enough tonight. This team's just fun to watch when they start doing stuff like they did in the second period.
I don't know how much Kemper really will get paid. Right now, if he were to go into free agency, he wouldn't get $6 million.
No. A little bit of different situations, I understand, but teams are seeing what's happening to Philip Grubauer right now, and they might be a little bit more wary this time around of a goalie coming out of Colorado and going, boy, they sure did make Grubauer look really good.
Yeah. Which is crazy, though, because like you look at the defense in the defensive zone, it's good, but there are some gaps there that happen. Mm-hmm. The goalie's got to make the saves. But I definitely think there is that, like, buyer beware kind of thing going on now.
Yeah.
Oilers don't have six to give, fam.
Yeah, they're not even close to having six to give.
Oilers has a lot of issues.
Yep.
They have a real, I don't know, they scare the bejesus out of me.
But that's also a team that could just get BTFO'd.
Yeah.
But right now they have one line.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that they've never really progressed beyond that.
Yeah.
You look at the Avs with the three-headed monster a couple years ago in 17-18.
Yep.
They made the postseason because of that line and not a whole lot else.
Yep.
And then now you look at how much better the Avs are. We're talking about five guys who are point per game. They had a Vezina finalist last year. Like, there's a whole bunch of things happening around that top line.
Yeah.
And in Edmonton, it just hasn't really progressed from beyond that too much.
Yep.
Anyway, this is off day stuff.
Yep. And getting back into this hockey game. I don't know what you do if you're Connor Hellebuck or any hockey team or goaltender in a game where you get halfway through the second period and then the Avs' best players just kind of look at each other and go, what if we just won this hockey game? I think we're just going to win. Should we just win, boys? They're just better than everybody else.
Yeah. So the great beat writer for the Jets, Murat Ateş, he's awesome.
Yep.
Tweeted out, like, this is the Jets running into Colorado's top line. I'm paraphrasing.
Sure.
Said this is the Jets running into Colorado's top line and not having an answer. Yeah. And, like, over the last few years, we've seen, this is a consistent theme, that when these guys are on, especially at home, they just win games for the Avs. They don't need help. They didn't need a Bo Byram goal at the end. Kadri got them tied, and then he was like, take it from here, boys. Like, they got it.
Yep.
Like, they took over. I haven't looked at the fancy stats, but I'd be willing to bet they're going to be pretty solid for those guys tonight. It's just they are special. You've got two players on Hall of Fame tracks right now in Mikko Rantanen and Nathan MacKinnon.
Yep.
You've got a third player who's going to have his jersey retired in Ball Arena when he's done in Gabe Landeskog.
Yep.
These are three franchise icons at the height of their power still. Like, they're still doing and we've, like, there's been frustration. Oh, MacKinnon's not scoring goals. For me, Mikko Rantanen drives me insane.
And yet because, he gets 2 points.
Because he plays with such a nonchalance.
Yeah.
Where if he played with a little more drive, a little more engagement at times, then I think he could be even better. I think he could be a top five player in the league. And even then, he's so good. He's so, I mean, look at the move that he makes. It's the fifth goal, or the sixth goal.
Yeah,
it's the sixth goal. So you're just kind of like I said, like this, they go into Globetrotter mode, and you just, like, we ding them when it's a 2-1 game and it's two, they get really cute like that. But when they're locked in and they're doing shit like that, you're just like, these are all highlight reel goals. This is all special. This is all so high end. This is all the stuff that we didn't see in Denver for 10 years. You know, no offense to Duchesne and O'Reilly and Stastny back in the day, but they just weren't capable of this.
Yep.
Weren't capable of this high of an end where you're like, they could have a great night, but this is just, these three guys, like we our whole show, last show was
about Cale Makar.
Cale Makar. But the three-headed monster, when they're locked in, is the best line in the league for a reason.
Yeah.
They're just different, man.
Would you say Mikko is kind of like Malkin in that, like, nonchalant but elite?
Well, and so physically gifted, so big and so talented, and that, you know, and I would definitely, it's a great comparison because both have a temper problem.
Yep.
And when they get mad, it brings out the worst in them. They do dumb shit. It's not like when McKinnon gets mad and he's like, okay, well, now I'm going to, like,
go super saiyan
right
mode
through you and you're going to pay the price. Like, Miko's and Malkin's and temper issues are more self-defeating. And both so big and so gifted. I think that's a great comparison, that's him not playing center is the only reason we don't compare it more to Crosby Malkin.
Yeah.
Genuinely.
It's probably more McKinnon Backstrom, but without the extremes of each player, one of which is the extreme playmaker and the other is the greatest goal scorer of all time.
Yeah.
Both of those guys are very, very good at both.
The crazy thing about hockey too is, like, there's those guys like that. They're never gonna be that guy that goes out there and hustle, but they go out there and just produce, and you, like, you look at them, you're like, why is the game so easy for this guy? Because it looks like they're not even trying, but they're just in the right spot. They have elite moves. They have elite vision. They know what to do when they're out there. And you're like, there is another level to your game, but it's like,
they also just don't need it.
Yeah. And maybe that's something like that would destroy him if he was going out there, you know, he has a temper. If he's going out there trying his hardest and things aren't working the right way, does he blow up?
This is
in more games,
right?
I think
just totally implode emotionally. Yeah, yeah.
I think Mikko more so than McKinnon and Landy too. Throughout his whole NHL career, now he's had some issues with injuries. He's kind of dealt with ribs and ankles and all of these things.
Yeah,
and he knows what time of the season it is that matters.
It's also something that considered that we're talking about game 30 here.
Yeah.
They've got 52 more regular season games to play, and then they have an entire postseason run to worry about.
Yeah,
like, you don't necessarily need to go crazy pants hard in all of the games. Like, you do, and we see this in the NBA more than any other sport, but
load management.
You do need to understand your body and understand the grind and understand to pick your spots. And, like, I think Saturday will be a game where they all come out amped up.
Oh, yeah.
Because they will view that game as a measuring stick themselves, instead of the Jets coming in and being like, let's show these guys who we are. You know, the little feisty little Mac nonsense, right? Like the gnomes trying to punch up.
I feel like you're starting fights with somebody that's not on the set right now. I feel like you're just like,
I feel like she's probably watching the Jets postgame show.
AJ going to be come home locked out of his own house.
I just think they will view it that way, and I think you could see that we could see that differently. It's just my own, like, you guys, we watch all the games together, so you guys have to put up with me whining about it constantly. But they're also just insane. Like, they're so talented that when they're all clicking, you're just like, fuck off, dude.
All right, well, if you've been annoying us all night, I'll be annoying to you on the show right now. Is Andrei Burakovsky a $7 million player?
No, but that's only because I did the homework on comparables and found the perfect one to keep it from that conversation. But I will say from the start tonight, Burakovsky, especially after the total ghost performance in Chicago.
Well, I think he was hindering in some areas as well.
Dude, there were some giveaways in Chicago where you're like, you're going to get benched. from pretty much the start of the game tonight, I kept being like, look at he's moving his legs, way more engaged. And the difference between those Burakovskys, the engaged one versus the floaty Casper one, he's so gifted naturally that when he plays like that, it's never a shock when he just finds his way to points.
AJ, would you rather have Kemper or Bucky heading into the playoffs right now?
Bucky.
That's an easy one.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about a recent Vezina winner and a top five goaltender, a hard, no doubt about it, not even controversial here to say he's a top five goaltender. Probably more like it's Hellebuck and Vasilevsky if you're looking over the last, say, 3 years.
Yeah. Yep.
If you're looking over the last 12 months or so, then guys like Jack Campbell will come into that. But, sure. Yeah.
Little shorter stints at that point.
Yeah.
Though. Yeah.
But Bucky's the track record is excellent. I mean, he was a top goaltending prospect before he hit the NHL. You know, he was a fifth round pick and then built himself into a top prospect, had a lot of hype, and then showed up and actually delivered for the Jets, and was the exact opposite of the Andre Pavliks and Michael Hutchinsons of the world who got to the NHL and kind of stalled out a little. Yeah. Never quite lived up to all of it. So definitely I would say Bucky. But I mean, you know, you watch a night where they just lit him up and you're like, yeah, it happens. Like, it happens to the best of them.
Yep.
If he was out there, if it was happening frequently, he wouldn't have significantly better numbers than Kemper coming into the game. Yeah. After tonight, I would be willing to bet that it was, 916 to 909? That's probably
a lot more even.
I wonder if it's more like 914 to 911 after this game, but we'll see. But for right now, it would still be Bucky.
Yep. Okay. We are brought to you all by Chevalier Mortgage. Both Mike and Virginia have been doing it here in Colorado for a long, long time. They can help you navigate the waters of the ridiculous housing market here. So be sure to hit them up at DNVR Mortgage. You can go there, get a free consultation, and also your chance to win some free DNVR merch. Maybe win this new shirt we got over here, down over there.
Again.
Yep.
Stop pointing over there.
No. I'm going to point there every time we have a shirt down there. That's what I'm going to do. So check them out. You can get a hold of both Mike and Virginia. Mike, a certified financial planner, so they can help you find the right home loan, not just for your house, but for your entire financial picture. Jump on it today. You can call Virginia directly at 303-257-6578. Michael Chevalier, NMLS 1931006. Virginia Chevalier, NMLS 1910631. And after that, you can also hit up Strava Craft Coffee, the CBD-infused coffee that helps with all sorts of aches and pains, migraines, joint pain, IBS, whatever you got going on, it can help with that. It's also, you know, coffee, so it's got caffeine in it, help wake you up in the morning, things like that. You can get the K-Cups, you can get the regular coffee, whichever kind you prefer. And yeah, it's great stuff. They've been with us forever. You can get 25% off with them when you use code DNVR25. Also, if you want the new shirt, you could just get an annual membership to the DNVR. Comes with a free shirt. Grab the Kemperer. Why not? Seems like a good deal. You also get access to all of our amazing content. Highly recommend you go check that out. We got all sorts of written, obviously, the videos here on YouTube. We also have some videos behind the paywall. We got audio. We got all sorts of stuff. Game notes, grades, feature pieces. Jesse doing all sorts of stuff on TikTok. I don't know.
Is he? I don't actually follow our TikTok.
I don't
yet.
Either.
I mostly just forgot.
That'd be funny if he was.
I know he's done a few things, but I don't actually know the details.
I've gotten super into TikTok in the last month and a half.
Oh,
and
God.
It's odd, dude. I tell you, it has been the best social media experience in probably
a long time.
15
yeah.
years for me.
Nice.
But it's mostly just like focus on making it positive, and it will be positive.
Yeah.
So, are you done?
Yeah.
Cool. Sorry, I just wanted to make sure that there wasn't...
Didn't want another 10-minute draft.
Exactly. and I love this quote. Adam Lowry was asked about the big guns tonight, and I'm just going to read the whole thing. He said, "I think they're one of the best lines in the league. All three of them are elite. They're elite at different things, and they complement each other extremely well. They've played together for so long, and with an active back end like Colorado has, it seems like they come at you with four or five guys. They get some zone time, and they always seem to know where each other is and are able to create those chances when it seems like they don't have a lot. It's one of those things now where we need to find a way to limit those chances. We're going to play those guys a few more times, and you want to be successful. In the Central Division, you're probably going to have to go through Colorado. An important way to beat them is to shut those guys down."
Yeah.
It's hard to say that the Jets accomplished even kind of that tonight.
They did not.
I mean, you can say that all you want.
When we couldn't come up with one for the king of the game, because we had McKinnon ready to go, and Yahir did all the legwork on it, and then Landy got the hat trick, and we were like, "Make it Landy!" And Yahir said a lot of mean names in our general direction.
He's very mean.
And then we came up with the idea that it's really just...
It's all of them.
Yeah.
The three-headed monster.
Yeah. Landy leading the charge with the Hattie, of course, but a 12-point night for the three of them combined. 4 points apiece.
Yeah, a 5-goal game from your top line.
Yeah. Yep.
Stupid.
There will be top lines this week in the NHL that don't score 5 goals.
Yep.
In the week, is what I mean.
There's a chance that the Avs scored more touchdowns than the Broncos do this week in this game.
There's always that chance. Look, I'm curious to get to the end of the year because the Avs have 82 kicks at that can. I want to see how many touchdowns they have this year versus the Broncos.
They already have like 6 or 7 touchdowns, right?
Like they have, that's like 3 or 4 Broncos games worth.
Yeah,
like,
they've made
I want to know, like, genuinely who ends up with more touchdowns at the end of the year. And I will count 6-goal games because that's a touchdown.
It's pretty close though, right? Like since, you know, a touchdown 6.
Yeah.
Goals 3. You play 82 games in the NHL.
Yeah.
How many games are the Broncos going to play this year?
Real quick, the Avalanche scored more points today than the Broncos did against the Chiefs through 3 quarters.
So almost a full game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, they scored 10 against the Chiefs, I think, last time. So.
9.
Okay. Good. Good.
Brutal.
Yeah. So, they're going to outscore the Broncos.
Hate to, like,
easily
dunk on the Broncos like this, but it's mostly just to say there's a hockey team in town competing offensively with the football team in town.
Who scores points 7 at a time.
Right.
Usually. All right. There's also like 500 of you in here, so do us a favor. Give us a like on the video. That helps us out a ton. If you're not subscribed, consider subscribing. I said this on the pregame show, but you might want to be subscribed. I got a video that I think is pretty cool coming out tomorrow.
I'm so excited for it to come out because I know how hard you've worked on it. And it's just like when you put a lot of like love into working on something to finally see it get released, you're both nervous, but you're more than anything, you're just relieved because it's done.
Yeah, I'm going to drop it, and then I won't be on YouTube for the rest of the day.
I will not think about it ever again, but the rest of us get to enjoy it. And I've just been, because I've had no part of this. So I get to just enjoy. So it's one of my favorite things is that when I don't have anything to do with whatever Rudo's up to, and I get to just enjoy what he does. That's how he ended up. I mean, that's why we hired Rudo in the first place. Is I just enjoyed his work, and so when I get to now just enjoy it, it's always a lot of fun. So I'm very excited for the McCarr thing tomorrow.
It's a type of video I've been wanting to do for a while, so I'm glad I got to do one. I hope everybody likes it, but watch it tomorrow and like that one too when you get the chance.
Yeah.
Anyway, getting back to this hockey game, got a couple super chats, I guess. We can hit those. You guys keep throwing money at us. Go buy the shirt with this money instead. $5 from Tommy, What is AJ's deadline move he won't tell us? I'm imagining he's going to continue not telling us.
Look, nobody's guessed. I literally get DMs almost daily trying to guess who the player is. And if somebody gets it, I'll tell you. But as of now, not yet.
Are you going to tell everyone or just the person that DMs you?
Just the person. Okay. Yeah. And then if they want to tell other people, they're free to. I can't. I'm not their keeper. Can't tell them how to be.
All right. Next.
It's funny because it's become such a big thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's a bit player that I think just helps them in a meaningful way. But he's not. It's not like them trading.
Sure.
It's not like them trading for Phil Kessel. It's not a sexy thing.
Are you going to give hints? Is it East Coast, West Coast?
I've given hints.
Yeah, he said it's a righty.
Yeah, he's a right-handed righty. Defenseman. Somebody was of the opinion that it was a person on an expiring deal. I don't know why that was the. I don't know why that was cried. I don't believe I ever said that. It's not the case. there's more than just beyond. There's more term than this season.
All right. Another five from Tommy saying, I hope masks won't be required for the parade this summer. Yeah, I mean, I like the enthusiasm, but I.
It'll be out on the street, so.
Yeah.
That's not even what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about when I hear that phrase in the middle of a season, the only thing I think of are like Leafs and Oilers fans that have been saying plan the parade for like 30 years and it's never happened.
Yeah, but they don't actually plan any parades because they know better because they live soul-crushing existences that none of the rest of the sports world could possibly comprehend. To have such a misguided love of incompetence at that level.
And definitely if it's in Florida, I mean, they won't have masks on.
Yeah, I mean, the last one was on boats.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. What? I don't.
Yeah, if it's in Florida, it'll be a doorknob-looking contest.
Especially sunrise. You don't want to go down there. And we got one more from Casey for $2. Thank you very much. AJ's hat game still on point. It's not a Red Bull hat, so I don't know.
Jacob Chikrin, by the way, just from what I've heard, you would wonder why in the first place. Yeah. But as far as I know, the Avs have not even checked in.
I don't know how they would make it work.
Yeah,
but Connor Murphy. all right.
No.
The rest of this is just
people AJ guessing. Being like, yeah.
Yep. Nope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nope. No. Nope. No. No. No.
No. No. No.
All right. I feel like
fuck no.
We kind of glossed over this because of the whole three-headed monster thing, but Landy did get a hat trick tonight. Kind of a big thing when players do the hat tricks. None of them were all that difficult for Landy tonight. He kind of had some easy ones along the way. But it's... I don't know... I'd have to actually go look which lines have the most hat tricks over the last 5 years or whatever. Because I know that between Landy and Rantanen, the Avs have quite a few.
I mean, they have... That line has two this year?
It has two this year alone, yeah. So, pretty good. Beyond that, the third period had a little bit of everything in it, didn't it? You had, obviously, the defensive start for the Avs.
Yeah.
You get the Landy hat trick. Yeah. Well, actually, before the Landy hat trick, you get McKinnon finally putting one in the net.
Yeah, there you go.
You get the Landy hat trick. You get, after that, it kind of turned into a gong show.
Travis Hamonic?
Is that your answer?
Oh, no.
Bobby Orr, yeah, that's the answer for sure.
Wasn't he lefty?
I think so.
Yeah. See? Doesn't fit the criteria. Yeah.
Famous pitcher.
Was he? The end of the game, I thought was interesting. Because we're coming out of a COVID year where the teams that played each other hated each other because they did it so much. But Winnipeg, a team in division that the Avs hadn't seen in a while, well,
I don't think I think that New Year's game was the last time that they'd play.
It certainly it was the last time in Colorado. I don't know.
Well, because they were set to play twice in the next month when the league shut down, because I was going to Canada for those games.
So it was nice to see a little bit of that division feistiness come back. Obviously, the Avs being on the right end of it helps too, but.
You usually don't see that in game one, though. Like, that's the start of it, right? So it could get a little chippy there, here and there, but you don't see, like, there
it'd
was
go
some
quite that hard.
Animosity going into the third period there.
Well, I get, did this really start from the PLD interference earlier in the game?
I don't think that could start that.
No? You don't think so?
No, there had to, it just had to be a
I mean, if it
accumulation
wasn't, sure,
of,
if it wasn't 6-1, that probably doesn't go there. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, there was, it's not like the Jets were going easy on them in the physicality realm and by any means.
Yeah.
So
the Jets, it's part of the Jets' identity this year has been to be a little, try to match some of the, I don't want to call it softness because it's not, I don't think their top six is soft.
Yeah.
But they've, you know, guys like Dubois, guys like Lowry, even to an extent, a guy like Andrew Kopp plays with a certain edge to him. And I think that that's kind of permeated some of their lineup. They've had, like Dom Toninato has been a part of their lineup throughout the year. And I think that physicality is, I mean, you don't go and get a guy like Brendan Dillon without trying to add some sandpaper to your lineup as a whole. And we've seen them this year, you know, Neil Pionk.
Yep.
Obviously had the issue against the Maple Leafs where everybody thought that he was the worst person in the world for 3 days. And, you know, when Jason Spezza was the real scumbag of that incident. And it was just like, that's kind of just sort of Jets DNA. And I guess if you want to, going back to the Toby Enstrom, Dustin Byfuglien, Jacob Trouba days, it kind of has been. But I do like that the Avs, at this point, so far this year, we haven't really seen the Avs give in to a lot of that.
Yeah.
And just like shrink from that.
Yeah.
You know, we saw Landy come out of the gates seemingly determined to set the tone at the start of the year that they were not going to take that shit this year and they were not going to be pushed around in that way. Now, it's one thing to try and tell other teams that on October 15th. It's another to do it in the postseason, of course. Sure. But we're seeing that on a night-to-night basis, this Avalanche team doesn't have that same level of like you can really punch them in the mouth and they'll just take it.
Yeah. Big brother sitting on the bench.
And you do like it's impossible to quantify something like that. Like we talk about a guy like McDermott and we look at him and we're like, what does he do as a hockey player?
Yeah.
But we don't know what he does to the other team. That we don't know what the tangible effect of it is, right? But you do see something like he crashes into a goaltender and four guys surround him and don't touch him.
Yep.
And you notice that because if Tyson Jones crashes into the goaltender, all four of those guys are going to get a piece of him.
Yep.
They're going to make sure that they do something to him. They're going to try and gouge out his fucking eyes, right?
Yep.
You just don't touch goalies.
Yep.
And instead, Curtis McDermott like dogpiled on that guy and got up and like was penalized for it and they went down and scored. But otherwise, we're not in defense of their goaltender in any meaningful way.
I mean, it goes even beyond that, right? Like, I think you give everyone on the team a little bit more confidence to do their own thing physically.
Yes.
Physically. And look, Byram doesn't need any more confidence. He's got plenty of that. But you even saw someone like him. He takes a hit from Morrissey. He didn't like it. He turns around, goes out of his way to two-hand the guy.
Yeah.
And you know, he could have called it a penalty for sure.
Yeah, but. And like there was that chippiness back and forth, and like that's the reality of it though is that the Avs are giving it back.
It's not one-sided.
They've got guys who are going to you know it's not that it's been curbed. It's not that teams aren't doing it to the Avs. It's that the Avs are giving it in return. Yeah. That they've got guys who are a guy like Byram who's gonna turn around and like actively sought it out and was like F this dude.
Well, even tonight. McCarr was a little bit off his game, right? We all talked about it a little bit.
I think McCarr played like shit.
Yeah. But did you see what he did out there?
In the last eight minutes of the game, all he wanted to do was murder a dude.
Yeah.
He was headhunting. Like, he was going after guys at every opportunity.
And some of that,
they wanted to raise the temperature, and the Avs are
Look, we can only see how they are in a postseason when the postseason gets here. But this Avs team is, through 30 games, more comfortable raising the temperature than any of the past Avs teams have been.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you cap off the game with Byram getting the Brazil goal. a bomb of a shot, too.
Beautiful
back
shot.
Back across Buck's body. So everybody on this team's good at hockey. I don't know what to tell you. Except for the penalty kill, but we don't need to talk about it. Yeah, two more super chats. You guys keep trickling them in. Thank you very much. Seven Canadian from Kerry. Our captain. Our captain two line was freaking.
Top line.
Okay, got it. It was freaking awesome. Do you guys think it was a whole team effort? And what did you boys think about our PK? Yeah, PK was still really
still
bad. Not if your name isn't Darcy Kemper.
Go back and watch the third period.
Yeah,
you'll see some bad PK.
Yeah, it was not good.
That last one in particular.
Yeah.
Like the first PK that they had, they pretty much killed off without really any.
Yeah, it wasn't.
They had one shot on goal, and then there was a lot of clearances, and there just wasn't a lot. And then the second one was 2 minutes of them just leaning.
Yep.
This is firing it around, and they have just being like, okay, we'll do what you want.
As far as the team effort, yeah, I think it was a pretty quality one. You ended up with two assists from Eric Johnson. Kadri got the big first goal. Yes, a lot of the scoring did come from your big guns, but
I thought a lot of those guys play. We saw some stuff from Alex Newhook tonight that we all really, really liked, and it didn't lead to any goals. There were no close calls or anything, but there were some plays that he made coming through the neutral zone and defensively especially that all three of us were like, oh, dude, we see you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad I'm on grades tonight because we saw that.
Yep.
Some of the passes that he made tonight, too.
That especially coming through the neutral zone, some of the outlets that he's making to guys, and we talked about this after the last game, that straight up, like, he is playing faster than his line mates really are ever going to be capable of, and that's a luxury for the Avs right now to have a guy like that at 3C who's starting to find his game and play at that kind of level.
Yep.
I think he looks really, really good.
Yeah.
One more super chat here. $2 from Mike. Thank you very much. Broncos 34 TDs, Avs 9.
That's a lot of TDs for the Avs to try and get to.
30. Well,
that's all. I mean, they're going to score six goals 34 times.
That would be
a
lot.
Do they get the playoffs too?
I don't. that would have only added one.
A tweet from the NHL public relations here. Colorado scored 7 goals in a game for the 7th time this season. They are the first team since 95-96 Penguins to record that many 7-plus goal games in the first 30. So they've scored 7 times in 30 games. So if they keep up that pace, they'd end up with, like, maybe somewhere around 20-ish on the year. Which would be insane, that amount of scoring.
Holy crap, is Chad just a bunch of dudes?
It's been
names?
Just dudes' names for like the past 10 minutes. Like, I just stopped looking at it.
No. Troy Stetcher's name has come up maybe 15 times.
Yeah, I see it every time.
You guys know that I like Troy Stetcher, and I like that. I like that they know. It's not Troy Stetcher. It's not Yanni Hockenpah, but I like that. I think that's cool.
Okay, so I guess we can kind of wrap things up. Any final thoughts? Oh, I do have one final thought. It's a little bit weird of a 10-game stretch, right, because there's a big 3-week pause in the middle of it. But from game 20 to game 30, the Avs go 8-1-1, including their only regulation loss being the nonsense that was the Predators game.
Yeah.
And then an overtime loss to Ottawa. So... yeah,
that was such a crazy ass game.
Yeah, pretty good 10-game stretch if you're looking at the season that
absolutely.
Way.
I love Tyson. Can Tyson Berry the person come back?
I don't think he's what the Avs need on the back end now at all. So.
Like maybe the last thing that they would be in the market for.
Yeah.
Is a guy where they're like, yeah, we can live with that. We can live with that profile.
No defense.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not like we already have the highest scoring defense in the league.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah, anyway. Final thoughts. Get the Kemperer shirt. It's that way.
Yes.
Shirt's dope. We all think it's awesome. Go get it. If you don't get it now, get it after the Toronto game when he balls out against them, too. So, yeah. We're going to get out of here for the night. Thank you, everyone, for watching, listening, however you consume the pod. We appreciate all y'all in the live chat so very much. And if you're watching later or on the podcast, you're all dope. Be sure to check out YouTube tomorrow, around 1 o'clock Mountain Time. Cool video. Hope y'all like it. We'll talk to you next time.